May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So today is the second Sunday in Advent, and as you've probably gathered, the theme of the last few weeks has been that Christ is drawing near. He could return at any time. So I just want to read a couple of verses which we've already had in our second reading from Peter, where he said, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed." So when you hear those words, I wonder what you think. I mean, I wonder how they come across to you. Do those words sound like judgment or grace? Do they sound like law or the gospel? Do they sound like hope or despair? You see, Advent is a time of waiting. Waiting for Christ's return. We often want to know, yes, but how long? When's he coming back? How long do we have to wait? And from the perspective of God's grace, the answer is just a bit longer. Why? Why does the Lord seem to take his time in returning? I mean, it's been about 2,000 years now since he's ascended to the Father. So when is he coming back? Well, the passage tells us. It says the Lord is not slow but patient. He wants all to come to repentance. And that's grace. He says, "I don't want anyone to perish, so I'll take my time and I'll give everyone the maximum time to turn to me." You see, grace is unmerited favour. It's God being very gracious to us when we don't deserve it. Last century, during a British conference on comparative religions, experts from around the world gathered and they debated what belief, if any, was unique to Christianity. Of all the religions in the world, what's unique to Christianity? Was it the incarnation? Was it the resurrection? Was it the cross? And the debate droned on until C.S. Lewis walked in. He wandered into the room and he said, "What's all the fuss about?" They told him, well, they were discussing Christianity's unique contribution among the world's religions. He said, "That's easy. It's grace. God's grace. The idea of God's love coming to us free of charge, no strings attached, seems to go against our basic instinct. You see, we want things to be fair. We want to get rewarded for things that we've done. We don't want people to be rewarded when they don't seem to deserve it. There's something in human nature that wants to earn our salvation. As Frank Sinatra said, I did it my way. I'm not beholden to anyone." That's part of our human dilemma, I think. So the Buddhists have an eightfold path to nirvana. Hinduism has a doctrine of karma, where you get reincarnated over and over again until you're good enough. The Muslims have five pillars of Islam to obey to gain Allah's favour, and so on. Each has a path to follow to get to God and finally get what you deserve. In Christianity, there is no path to God. Rather, there is a person by the name of Jesus. Jesus taught, lived, died and rose again to show us that in him salvation is freely available to all. We can't earn it, we can't buy it, we can't work for it, we can't inherit it. We simply have to accept it. Accept that Jesus has done what is necessary on our behalf. Accept it in faith. So that's grace. How do we access that acceptance, that grace? As John the Baptist and Jesus himself said, repent, and then you receive all of that grace in abundance. And Jesus told loads of stories about this, about people not deserving it but receiving favour anyway. The prodigal son. There's the son who blew all his inheritance, squandered it, wasted it, came back, tail between his legs, and his father rushed out and embraced him. My son, you were lost, but now you're found. The workers going out at different times of the day, but all eventually being paid the same, and so on. Many, many stories suggested that God is a God of grace. And we say, well, I don't deserve it. And God says, no, you don't, but I'm offering it to you anyway. We say, but I'm not worthy. God says, no, you're not. But in Christ, you will be. So come. Jesus said, I've come not for the well, but who don't think they need God, but for the sick. I've come not for the righteous, but the unrighteous. So Peter says that Jesus is coming back in our second reading. But he's delayed because of God's grace. He wants to give everyone a chance to repent and to accept him. And that was John the Baptist's message. We sort of focus a bit on John today. He came, you know, went out there to the Jordan, and his message was a message of repentance. Repent and be baptized. And we read in the first few verses of Mark's Gospel that Jesus went into Galilee and told people to repent. He said, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And he's graciously waiting for that. So who will be in the kingdom then? I think there's going to be a few surprises. Maybe people we didn't think should be there. May even be some Anglicans. So, I think there'll be some surprises. People who've accepted Jesus, perhaps even at the last hour, like those two people on the cross alongside of him. One was, they're both dying, but one embraced Jesus. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus promised that that very day he would see him. In the Academy of Fine Arts in Venice, there's a painting by Paolo Veronese. And it got him into trouble with the church, because it's a painting of Jesus at a banquet with his disciples. Well, that wasn't the problem. But along with the picture of Jesus and the disciples were also some Roman soldiers. A man with a bloody nose, some stray dogs, a couple of drunks, dwarfs, black Moors, and even some Huns. And when asked to explain, Veronese said that these were the sort of people that Jesus probably died with, the ones whom the religious people thought didn't deserve to be there at the table. No, they didn't. But that's precisely the point. But the church didn't like it, and they made him change the title and turn it into a secular scene. You see, we just can't accept that God offers grace to us. Come to me and receive salvation, said Jesus. We have a hard time accepting that God is a God of grace. Now, that doesn't mean that God just condones sin and sweeps it under the carpet. Not at all. God never makes excuses for sin. doesn't mean we can do and live however we please. God has to do something about sin, and he has. That's what Jesus died on the cross for, to deal with the problem, to deal with the issue, so that in Christ we can come to God freely. Grace transforms us. It turns dirty, rotten sinners like you and me into men and women of God like you and me. Who would have thought? You know, Martin Luther spent years trying to make himself more holy through excruciating self-discipline, but he was never satisfied. Why? Because we'll never be good enough to earn God's love. We'll always fall short. But what finally transformed Luther was an experience of God's grace, unmerited favour, finally realising that God accepted him just as he was. And it was that experience that led to the Reformation, and the rest, of course, is history. You see, the problem with all the world's religions is that enough is never good enough. No matter how diligently we follow the path to holiness, we'll never get there. We can't do it on our own. But Jesus says, I accept you as you are, warts and all. I love you, so come to the Father through me. I will transform you into my likeness. I will bear fruit in you. Lean on me. Take my yoke upon you. Now follow me. That's grace, folks. It's a gift from God, and it's unique to Christianity. So meanwhile, as we await Christ's return, Peter tells us how to be patient, seeking to serve him and live according to his word. So Peter says, therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of the Lord as salvation. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.